has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, baby, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that sharp bite with his teeth, baby, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, baby, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, sunny morning, lies a body just
oozing life. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, January 26, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. You know, truthfully, I should just, you know, I don't know, just disconnect right now because, you see, I already did a show this morning. I made the mistake of calling John Stadtmiller, and I was diverted for over an hour. So, should I just log out now? By the way, I'm cleaning my fingernails as we speak. I went down the rabbit hole last night on Marilyn Monroe again, and it was a bit muddier than usual. I mean, talk about being lied to, folks. All I can say is, oh, my God. But that's all I'll say about that because I'm doing a show on her next week, and you'll find out some little tidbits that you may have never known before. Yes, Mac the Knife, i.e., the CIA. Now, the question here is, what is the CIA's real job? I mean, good guys, depicted on mainstream TV, keeping Americans safe against terrorists? Not. Like another alphabet soup agency, the IRS, an international corporation with their collection arm are loaded with government employees. And I'm convinced that, like the IRS, the CIA is an international group supplied with, well, more government employees, infiltrating mainstream news to the tune of over 300, continuing to feed us, or not us, folks, because you listen to RBN, but most dumbed-down, mind-numbed, mesmerized Americans, continuing to feed them propaganda, working internationally to disrupt, to agitate, to cause dissension, and ultimately overthrow foreign governments who simply choose not to goose-step and kowtow to a Zionist agenda. And by the way, woe be it to North Korea, should they indeed reunite and march under the same flag at the upcoming Olympics. And you can blame them? I mean, who can blame them? I mean, let's face it, folks, there's a bully around the corner, in every corner of the globe, i.e. Israel and the United States. Unification would be to stand strong against a possible oppressor, a strategic move of self-protection for both factions. And if indeed Kim Jong-un possesses nukes, I don't think he's stupid enough to use one. I mean, think about it, folks. That idea is preposterous. Like any other dictator, he likes power. I'm sure that he knows launching a nuke at Hawaii or Japan or any other country, for that matter, would be suicide for both him and his nation. So I would just put out the request, stop feeding us this nonsense. And Donald, please quit buying into it. I mean, seriously, folks, the hypocrisy of it all. Iran wishing to enrich uranium for nuclear power. But hey, who could blame them if they wanted to build nukes for protection? And oh, by the way, with all the West's war drum pounding and Israel's woe is me victim attitude regarding Iran, they are the ones that possess the nukes. They are the ones that could make Iran into a parking lot. All the while professing fear that if Iran were to gain nuclear weapons, they'd blow Israel off the map. What a crock of S with a hit. The whole facade is downright shameful and should make us all ashamed to be Americans. And it now seems a crime for the nations of the world to seek peace and unity. And frankly, folks, I see, from my perspective, no other country in the world fomenting such carnage around the globe that a pit bull's tail, Israel, wagging the bulldog, the United States. And as I watch the disgraceful aggression continue to unfold, as I see country after country of innocent human beings being bombed, all due to minerals and oil and banking interests by the West and her rogue ally Israel, I just wonder just when the rest of a rational world, the other countries, finally stand up and say, hey, you know what? We've had enough. They trot out soldiers at football halftime and baseball seventh inning stretches and call them heroes. And though I respect their naivety, I have to say, they're being marched off as cannon fodder. And yet all the dumbed-down, mind-numb Americans are clapping for them. Why don't they pull them aside and say, hey, you know what? Not a real good idea. Maybe it's time to get out. If all of the military stood up and said, we had enough, maybe this would go away. But while we constantly hear of wars and rumors of wars, depicted in the Bible, by the way, our media, the American media, seems to be craving one war in particular. A war with a country portrayed as a nuclear threat and with its government accused of funding terrorism. Oh, what are we doing, folks? Now, these are thinly veiled war cries being propagated by the same media who never addresses how the U.S. also funds terrorism. The arms extremists and the staged coups abroad paid for by, well, at least in part, by American tax dollars. Whatever's left over, whatever goes to pay interest on that, quote, national debt, you know, the one they were fighting over raising just last week. Sending us into these endless repetitions of the same wars over and over and over with the same playbook over and over and over. Wars the majority of Americans don't have to fight or witness firsthand. Oh, that's reserved for the young people that they call heroes that are used as that cannon fodder. And when these soldiers return from wars as broken pawns in a global scheme, they are treated like trash and to the tune of 22 a day, seeing what they saw, carrying out orders that they probably morally opposed, which is why they commit suicide to the tune of that 22 a day. And this is why I'm going to share with you today what the media won't tell us about Iran. Because what is most revealing about the mainstream media's agenda is not as much what they do say, but rather more of what they purposely omit. For what I've observed, when it comes to Iran, our government leaders and our media like to start with 1979. Oh, yes, the year of the Iranian hostage crisis is through, as though Iranians decided out of the blue one day to storm the U.S. embassy and take Americans hostage for 444 days for, well, no reason whatsoever, just because they hate our freedoms, right? Don't believe that? Just ask George Bush, all right?
They hate us for our freedoms. That's why they declare war against us. That's why they crash the planes into the buildings. So let's rewind, because Iran was once a part of a great empire, what we refer to as the Persian Empire, an empire that sat atop vast wealth in the form of black gold. The Achaemenid Empire, 550 to 330 BC, the Sasanian Empire from 224 to 651 AD, the Safavid Dynasty of 1501 to 1736 AD, the Afsharid Dynasty of 1736 to 1796 AD, the Qajar Dynasty from 1785 to 1925. But then, guess what? Britain decided to make a run on their oil playground. An Anglo-Persian oil company was created in 1908 after discovering a large oil field in Iran. Now, the British Navy ended up switching, powering their ships with coal to oil, then sailed around the world and created the British Empire. And in 1930, the Anglo-Persian Oil Company went through a rebrand and was renamed the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. The good oil empire It was named the Good Oil Times for Britain, and it began to dwindle in 1951 when the Iranians elected Mohammad Mossadegh. Remember him? Oh, my God. Mohammad Mossadegh, a secular leader who dared to renationalize Iran's oil, taking it away from British control. Now, what if Iran, who had been a great empire like a century ago at this point, had total control of their oil's production? Oh, no, 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 no. We can't have that, especially not post-World War II, when both the U.S. and U.K. Viewed that precious Iranian oil as a means to rebuild the economy. So, naturally, the CIA, along with the British, carried out a military coup in Iran, overthrowing their democratically elected government in 1953. The CIA admitted to all of this 60 years later, acknowledging their involvement. But, hey, the damage had already been done. And this was after the American reputation was good and tarnished. This we find in a declassified document stating the military coup that overthrew Mossadegh and his National Front cabinet were carried out under CIA direction as an act of U.S. foreign policy conceived and approved at the highest levels of government. The Anglo-Iranian Oil Company now went through yet another rebrand. They now renamed themselves the British Petroleum Company, or what we know now as BP. So every time you pull into that gas station where that green thing says BP on it, know who they are, what they did to Iran. Yes, BP. Think oil spill. Show for another day. Of course, the CIA waited to admit all of this after the U.S.-backed authoritarian monarch known as the Shah was ousted during the Iranian Revolution. The same year, the American media likes to start all of the Iranian history. 1979. The Iranian Revolution yielded several results. A new supreme leader, a new constitution for the Islamic Republic of Iran that was one part theocratic and one part democratic. Well, this caused the second oil crisis and caused the price of a barrel of oil to double over the next 12 months. And, of course, came the Iranian hostage crisis, occurring during November 4th, 1979, and lasting until January 20th, 1981. January 20th, inauguration day from Ronald Reagan. What a coincidence. Yes. And remember those oil crisis, folks? I remember pulling up to the gas pumps. I'll tell you a story about that before I continue. I remember the first oil crisis, 1973, when all of a sudden they supposedly cut off all gas coming into the United States. Now, we had oil reserves here, but they just locked us all up and said, oh, no gas, all right? And there were lines, remember this, for those of you who are old enough, which I know many of you are, okay, lined up around the corner, 2 hours wait to buy gas, and some of it was rationed to where you could only buy $5 at a time or, say, $8 at a time. And I remember sitting in that line thinking, there's nothing we could do about it. I'm trapped. I have to sit here. I can't get from point A to point B unless I go through this nonsense. And ironically, two cars ahead of me, as I was in line for probably an hour and 40 minutes, I watched a guy in the old Pintos. Remember the Ford Pintos? I watched a guy pull and cut in front of a guy, just right dead behind, a car behind, burst up to the gas pump. And I'll never forget what the... And this guy was in front of me, and the other guy that cut in was in front of him. And I'll never forget what he did. The guy went and took his gas cap off, which at the time was a locking gas cap, walked up to the guy's car behind him, took off his gas cap, and put his locking gas cap on the car, and very, very slowly and very covertly closed the little lid so the guy couldn't get gas. And I thought that was classic. But anyway, with that. And do you remember those days, folks? All the while, this crap's going on internationally behind the scenes. So back to this. The crisis began when a group of Iranian students who supported the revolution took over the U.S. embassy in Tehran, taking hostage 52 Americans who were both diplomats and citizens. But let's not forget this crucial fact. The CIA was still there, in Iran and nearby, both arming and financing jihadists in Afghanistan through Operation Cyclone. But it's not out of this world to consider that the hostage crisis was also a CIA concoction. As the main beneficiary of this was George H.W. Bush, you know, one of those guys that never goes away. He's always lurking around the corner somewhere, along with Hillary Clinton. Ah. Yes, George H.W. Bush, who was at the time the director of the CIA in 1977. He served as vice president throughout the 80s and eventually became president of the United States in 1989. The hostage crisis effectively destabilized the Carter administration. And as a side note, there are a series of documents that support the theory that President Carter was undermined by the CIA faction loyal George Bush, both in an effort to keep Iran out of communist grip and also to put George in the White House. Although, be it vice president, not president, was a deal that was made with Ronald Reagan. Now, I want to take a moment to summarize this before we move on. The Brits were in Iran over a century ago. They got kicked out and wanted back in as a Iran oil fields were and are a total cash cow. American animosity with Iran didn't begin in 1979. Hence, it is dishonest for the American media to portray Iran as the sole aggressor or as an unprovoked terrorist state. What a surprise. When Britain had been in Iran for all this time, stealing their resources, and the U.S. played a key role in killing Iran's chance of taking back what was theirs. It was a total betrayal. And let me just add this. If Iranians and Americans have anything in common, it is that we've both been dubbed terrorists by the British government. Now, for the Americans, as we remember, it was the American Revolution. And for the Iranians, well, it was for the most part the past century, and even more so in the past few decades. But I digress, because we live in the present, not in the past. So let's move forward to the tangled mess that we're in now. And the resource-rich country of Iran today is both geostrategic and of economic importance as a prosperous country in the greater Middle East. They are allied with Lebanon, the Palestinian Authority, Syria, Venezuela, and Russia. In 2015, the Islamic Republic of Iran and the United Nations, as well as the EU, got together to start their framework for their Iranian nuclear deal. Now, this has been a point of contention, as we know, ever since, because Iran wants two things out of the deal. They want their sanctions released so they can grow their economy, and they want access to nuclear technology. Not for a bomb, but for nuclear power. Now, let's talk about sanctions for a minute. Do you remember after George H.W. Bush went in Desert Storm and he basically just bombed the heck out of Baghdad, but he never went in there and got Saddam Hussein, right? Used depleted uranium, poisoned their country, killed I don't know how many people, all right? Then they placed sanctions on Iran, took all the medicine away from, killed 500,000 Iraqi people, and even Madeleine Albright was interviewed talking about, do you think it's worth it? Yes, we think it's worth it. It's worth it to kill 500,000 Iraqi children, put sanctions on them, let them die over this agenda that you have? What kind of a logic do you have here? What kind of psychopaths are running this government? So Susan Lindauer was negotiating with the Iraqis. The Iraqis were doing anything and everything they could do to get the sanctions released to stop the basic genocide, if you will, of their own children. What happened to Susan Lindauer? She wanted to testify before Congress. She wanted to blow the lid off this weapons of mass destruction facade that Dick Cheney and George Bush and Colin Powell were, you know, with his enriched uranium little yellow cake stuff in the UN. She wanted to blow the lid off it. So what'd they do to her? They arrested her, threw her in Carswell prison for about a year, okay, to shut her up. Tried to give her a psychological, you know, like lobotomy with Haldol, rhinoceros medication. Well, thank God she got through that.
But now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Yeah, I'm here. All right. Back to the show. Yes, anyway, just Susan Lindauer is one example of trying to blow the whistle on this Zionist-controlled neocon faction. What their agenda is basically to take over the planet, if you will. And all the Islamic Republic of Iran wants to do is enrich uranium for nuclear power. But, you know, they want two things out of the deal. They wanted the sanctions release. Because look at what the sanctions did to Iraq. They want to be able to grow their economy, and they want access to nuclear technology. Not for a bomb, but for nuclear power. Now, this deal was supposed to be designed in such a way that it would limit the amount of uranium that Iran could get access to so they could do low-level enrichment for power generation and other peaceful activity without having enough to build weapons for at least 10 years. But, you know, I would pose in this that if Iran really wanted a bomb with all of this, you know, chaos, confusion, and so-called terror that's going on all over the world, and Iran has an intelligence agency, look at what the CIA does and a number of different other they spy domestically on Donald Trump, okay? But if they really wanted to possess a nuclear weapon, instead of going through all of this rigmarole that they're going through dealing legitimately, I equate this to trying to become a legal citizen of the United States coming from another country and all the hoops you have to jump through immigration. Iran is trying to do this the right way through the United Nations and cut a deal with them to get their nuclear power to enrich on a low-level uranium, okay? But if they didn't want to go that route, I mean, let's take a look at the so-called 12 million illegals in the country, okay, which is really probably 30 to 40 million, and how they got here, and the immigration laws that they broke to get here. If Iran really wanted a bomb and really wanted to blow Israel off the map, like is what is contested by these people that are going, oh, whoa, is me, oh, we're the victim here. They could probably just go out and buy one. I mean, let's face it, they've got the money. There's a whole lot of people all over the world, or many countries in the world, that possess nuclear weapons. I just pose that to you. Just think about that for a while. But the critics of the deal, i.e. Israel, have posed the possibility that gets a lot of traction in the media. Gee, I wonder why that is. Well, it's because they own them. As the media is Jewish-owned, such a coincidence here, and of course, the Israel tail wags the American dog, or the goy, take your pick. If Iran makes a bunch of money, they might expand their weapons program, which might lead to Iran's neighbors retaliating should Iran threaten them, and they'd have war in the Middle East. Last time I looked, we've already got war in the Middle East, and it wasn't Iran that started it. Now, let's forget that Iran hasn't preemptively attacked anyone in more than 250 years, and let's forget that their entire political system and their political principle is based around peace and morality. That's their religion. The media wishes us to believe Israel and God's chosen people, excuse me, which God, who consistently bomb the citizens of a country, i.e. Palestine, of which they started to invade post-World War I and have consistently devastated Palestinians for better than 80 years, and we've all taken a look at the map. We've all seen the map of what Palestine looked like before they started coming over. What is it down to now? About 11%? And the illegal settlements just keep coming in. And I have to remind you, folks, I like to keep things clear, which is why I like to keep going down the rabbit hole and bringing up events of the past to show that it still ties in with the present. How many of you people remember Rachel Corrie? Remember the girl that stood up in front of a bulldozer when Israel was an Israeli contractor trying to bulldoze a Palestinian house for another illegal settlement? She stood up and said no. He ran her over in 2004. That was very, very pretty quick. What, didn't hear a heck of a lot about that in the news. Yes, the critic, Israel. Woe is me. The victim. Oh, my God, they'll make us into a parking lot. I don't think so. Well, if that's the case, how come you've never allowed inspections, dating all the way back to John F. Kennedy, of your Dimona nuclear facility? Yet nobody claimed. Oh, and by the way, how come it is that under the UN charter that if you do not allow the IAEA, you're not a member of the IAEA, you're not supposed to receive any funding from any country around the world, yet this government makes a $38 billion deal with you over the next 10 years, not to mention the $6 billion they already give you, probably 9, but I'm not going to go there. But you know what? Look, newsflash. War is already happening in the Middle East and has been for quite some time. And just to be fair, let me pose this question. I'll pose it after the break. Another break coming up. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Back down. No, I'm not backing down, folks. You know, again, news flash. War's already happened in the Middle East and has been for quite some time, and it's not Iran's fault that those wars are going on. Picture yourself being in an Iranian country and having bombs and wars go off all around you. Wouldn't you get a little bit nervous? Huh? And just to be fair, let me pose this question. Why wouldn't Iran want to expand their weapons program? I mean, I've said this before. If you had a neighbor of whom you knew hated you and wanted to take part of your land for their greater expansion project, which I am certain that Iran is totally aware of, a neighbor that possessed nuclear weapons, or just if you're a neighbor in your house and they possess machine guns and hand grenades, and all you had was a BB gun, one that boasts of their Samson option. Google it. Last time I checked, Iran isn't blind. And they can observe Israel constantly pouring destruction and death on both their neighbor and their ally, the Palestinians. So, you know, wouldn't it only be prudent to want to expand your weapons program for both protection and defense? And aside from that, let's take a look at their neighbor and former ally, Iraq. Who now pretty much lies in ruins. They've broken up into three states, okay, and part of it is, you know, is occupied for the Greater Expansion of Israel project. It lies in ruins for doing what? For making the mistake of choosing to drop the petrodollar for the euro. The United States invaded their neighbor on the false pretense of possessing weapons of mass destruction, i.e., I relate back to Colin Powell and the uranium, yellow cake uranium that supposedly Saddam Hussein acquired from Niger, wherever the heck that is. Oh, and Dick Cheney and George Bush was right on board, and all the rest of the neocons in there. The United States has been the invading force in neighboring Afghanistan for the past 17 years, protecting those poppy fields. Another ally has been in a civil war for years in attempts to overthrow Bashar al-Assad. A democratically elected president of a country of whom, again, holds strategic land that, guess who? Israel, they keep jumping into the mix here, wishes to possess. Now, there was a United States-backed regime change in Libya back in 2011, lest we forget. And in 2016, oh, and by the way, guess who was the, you know, the head of state, Secretary of State? Hillary Clinton. Oh.
At this point, what difference does it make?
When the four Americans were killed in Benghazi and the ambassador, Chris Stevens. In 2016, Iran dropped the strategic land, Iran dropped the petrodollar in favor of the euro for oil sales. And now, more than ever, the Jewish-owned American media is putting the heat on Iran. And only us, well, there are some other people out there, but folks, RBN, okay, we're giving you a crystal clear pair of glasses to see this. Think about that. Where else can you get this information as in-depth as you get it? I'll tell you this. If I were Iran, I'd want nukes too. Like I said, if I had a neighbor next door who hated me and wanted to take my land and possessed five machine guns, a few hand grenades, and a Humvee when all I had was a BB gun, I'd be looking to expand my arsenal as well, wouldn't you? It's only self-preservation at this point. They are sitting on a black gold cash pile with no nukes. How much longer will they have that cash pile? How much longer do you think they'll have their country with these maniacal psychopaths in direct violation of UN regulations and as a result cannot relieve support from any other country, including the United States? But in September of 2016, the United States agreed to send an additional $38 billion in military aid over the next decade to this rogue faction as they continue to eviscerate Palestinians at will, all the while in the forefront of promoting a war between the United States and Iran. Do you see anything wrong with this picture? And the next question I pose to you is, how is it that our fellow Americans, the mind-numb, mesmerized, dumb, down, hypnotized idiots that watch mainstream media and are constantly confused by the irrationale that they put out, specifically designed and edited to keep them confused, all the while with their game plan of taking out country after country after country, which General Wesley Clark warned us about, I believe it was in 2002? Seven countries in 5 years. And they're pulling that plan, they're implementing that plan, and the only beacon of light, the only true beacon of light that gives you all the truth is RBN. Why it's very important to bring people in. And if you're not cognizant enough and you don't have the wisdom of delivery, bring them in and just ask them to have a listen. You do it like this. You know, I heard something on the radio the other day that really had my head scratching, and I'd like to get your opinion of it. Let them listen. There is either going to be appalled or they're going to be hooked, one or the other. It's the same war with the same aggressors. The only changes who happens to be in the crosshairs at the time. Right now, it's Iran, Syria, and North Korea. North Korea, the United States is as nervous as they can be. So is Israel, because they're looking to reunite. Oh, no, we don't want that to happen, because remember, it's divide and conquer. It's Hegelian dialectic. That doesn't fit with their plan. Be careful, Kim Jong-un, okay? As Michael Rivera said on his show yesterday, they'll have three options there. They can take out one or the other of those presidents, or both. They can stage a false flag event. I mean, folks, I can't see for the life of me how the American people to continue to just blatantly put up with this garbage. Fighting wars for peace seems a bit ridiculous, a bit hypocritical. Think about this. We're fighting wars for peace. We need peace. We're bringing democracy. They don't want democracy over there. They're very happy living their lives the way they are. Just stay out of my backyard. Who gave us the permission to be the policemen of the world? And why doesn't the rest of the world at this point, which I think they're getting close to, stand up and go, you know what, enough of this. We're done with you. Yes, fighting wars for peace seems a bit ridiculous at this point. And any American who thinks these aggressions are to make them safer is a fool. In the goal of a stabilized Middle East that we, folks, destabilize the Middle East to begin with, that's equally ridiculous.
We're supposed to be stabilizing the Middle East, according to what they say. We're bringing democracy to the Middle East.
No, we're not. We're bringing the platform. We're opening the doors. We're paving the way for Israel to lay that greater expansion of Israel map over all those countries. Because isn't it a coincidence that everywhere that ISIS seems to go happens to be the exact land that Israel wants to possess on their map? You ever taken a look at that? The question is, how do we get this out there fast and furious? I'll use the terms of Barack Obama. How do we get this out there fast enough to wake up enough American people to put a stop to this? Yes. The true objective of provoking war with Iran and all these other countries, for that matter, is the greater expansion of Israel. Yes. The goal for Israel to have total dominance in the Middle East? Yes. Is it for the entire world to be under the Jewish banking system of usury? Yes. Why won't the American government or the media address why the U.S. continues to undermine and destroy all of the secular and the most modern of the Islamic states, while on the backside making arms deals and aiding the most oppressive and brutal ones, i.e. Saudi Arabia? Now, here's what the American media won't tell you, or the Americans, about Iran. The issue is not about nukes. The issue is not even really about Iran. Really, it's nothing personal. The issue is that we have an American empire with only paper fiat, and its value resides in oil sales. And when oil sales are no longer done in dollars, the empire will collapse. So they're in a race, folks. Look at the BRICS Nations Agreement. Okay, these countries are one by one by one deciding that, you know what, we don't want to deal with this fiat currency and this inflation anymore. We're tired of it. So they flipped. They made a BRICS nation agreement. Syria doesn't use the central bank. Libya didn't use a central bank. And remember, you know, I did a show on this months ago. I'll probably do it again on this in this time slot, as many of you may have not heard this. But when they demonized Muammar Gaddafi, okay, oh, he's evil. Same game plan as they're doing right now to Bashar al-Assad. Oh, he's evil. He's killing his own people. We've got to do something about this. No, he wasn't. You know, the only thing that Muammar Gaddafi was doing that intelligence picked up on was he was quietly and covertly going and having meetings with heads of state in all the little countries in Africa, saying, you know what, we're sick of this inflation thing. He didn't have a central bank over there. He got tired of the inflation, and he started saying, you know, I got an idea. Why don't we start trading our oil back and forth in gold dinars? And forget about this fiat currency, because under the Bretton Woods Agreement, as we all know, in order for these countries back after World War II to even buy oil, they had to first take their yuan or their ruble or their peso or whatever it was, and they had to convert it and keep reserves in American dollars, specifically fiat Federal Reserve notes. loans, which is nothing more than a debt. And they put up with this for how many years? Until finally, they started realizing that they were getting hosed. They said, you know what? I don't think I want to do this anymore. This isn't a good deal for me. And all of the money that China was putting into it, remember, China used to buy our notes. China was fine. Even China got sick of it. Then there came into play the Federal Reserve quantitative easing because the Federal Reserve started buying the notes because they didn't have any other way out of it. China finally had enough. Said, I don't think we want to do this anymore. This isn't a smart thing to do. Henceforth, it led into the BRICS Nations Agreement. So we've got all of this stuff going on the international front. We've got Donald Trump that is really goose-stepping to the neocon agenda, i.e. the Israeli agenda. Benjamin Netanyahu and Beetleboken, you know, shaking hands with him and dancing around with the Saudis. Have you ever seen that clip? I mean, seriously, it nauseates me. And of course, we got Jared and his little deal going on with Benjamin Netanyahu and Beetleboken with the illegal settlements over there, you know, and buying into that. I mean, what, Trump is not aware of this? Come on. You know, and this is just the international side of it. I mean, I'm, folks, like you and like many others, during the campaign, I was supporting Donald Trump. I was absolutely mesmerized with his campaigns, his campaign speeches. Right Side Broadcasting picked up on it because remember CNN and ABC and CBS and all of those you know, mainstream media conglomerates, they would just focus on his face. They wouldn't show the crowds. And it was Right Side Broadcasting that took the initiative to actually start following him to the event and show the crowds. And look how many millions of people were drawn into those crowds because he was saying what Americans wanted to hear. They were thirsty for change. Now, granted, Americans are literally mainstream media watching Americans are kind of dumbed down. They really don't know what's going on. But here, along came a leader, a potential leader, that said, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make America great again. And they believed him. Okay? And all across the nation, people were coming in droves, waiting in line, standing outside because they couldn't even get into the building. Meanwhile, on the flip side of the coin, we had Hillary Clinton. They were closing off half of gymnasiums and angling the camera specifically so they could make it look like the crowd was bigger of those teenagers that they forced to come out of their high school classrooms and sit and listen to Hillary. That's what happened, folks. That's a lot of what happened. I mean, towards the end, she was actually going to events where somebody else was going to perform with a larger crowd to make it look like she was drawing that crowd. I actually saw one clip where Bill Clinton was standing in a shopping center talking to probably 30 people. That's how bad it was. Yet the whole time, and the mainstream Zionist-controlled media is telling us that she's ahead by 7 to 15 points. Talk about propaganda. And this doesn't stop. It continues to go on. On and on and on and on, and the American people continue to drink that Kool-Aid. It's sickening. So how do we do something about it? Folks, that's up to you. You are listening to the Beacon of Light. You are listening to a whole slew of hosts on this network that are doing the best that they can do to bring the best truth that they can bring to you. And it's up to you to draw your friends, neighbors, and relatives in and let them listen. I can't emphasize that enough because John and I and Mike Rivero and Tom LaCavira and Al Whitney and Steve Elkins and all that. We can only do so much. We can put it out there. But it's like a tree falling into the forest. If nobody's listening, does it really make a noise? Think about that. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines for the rest of the day and get input from the audience, hopefully. I'm still on the international front. I haven't even shifted gears to go into the domestic front. And I was perusing around today on Republic's website, which I would strongly encourage you to go in. And I'm looking at this. I did a show on this a couple of weeks ago about the police state and, you know, ABC News doing an investigative report on a guy just trying to get a police department complaint so they could file a complaint on one of the police department's own. And out of 38 police departments, he got three, and he got arrested twice, I believe. This is what this has turned into, and if I wasn't laughing, I'd cry about it. All right, but it's not just that. We've got on the domestic front, we've got these psychopathic leaders controlled by the neocons and the Zionist faction that would have us open our borders and the borders of Europe. Let's not leave them out of the mix, and accept all people of all races, of all creeds, of all colors, many of which have been bombed and we killed their relatives, many of which are felons. I'll tell you a story. I just ran across an article the other day, which I talked about to a degree with John Stadtmiller this morning, which is why I was on the phone so long. And by the way, we were talking about the bureaucracy and what was involved and what I was jumping through just to get a background check. The whole time he's telling me this, he's standing in another bureaucratic line trying to get a license plate renewed. So it's everywhere we go. You know, we can't get around this. Anyway, yeah, on the domestic front, I mean, we've got all races, creeds, and colors, and we've gone over these same people that are coming in. We've bombed and killed their mothers, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, and cousins, and so forth. And well, come on in here, we'll give you welfare and, you know, a business loan. Do you think those people really like us? Now, all the while this is going on, Israel has closed borders to anyone but immigrating Jews and slaughtering the rightful residents of that geographic locale, i.e. the Palestinians. Oh, and by the way, this is how upside down and lopsided this is. The Palestinians, who 35% of these people, folks, are Christians. 35%. So the question, why? Why are Western Christians paying Zionists to kill them? You ever thought about that? Why is Chuck Hagee with a national show on TV saying we support this goddess of Israel while they're laughing at us because dirty? In the end, they want to own the. We'll be back at 3 o'clock. The phone, folks, feel free to vent, shout, question, whatever you want to do. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and...
Well, it's all...
It's all right as long as you lend a hand, folks. But, you know, I thought about that, and it's not all right. It's not all right what's going on here. Now, I'm out of breath, so I'm going to go to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, you've got the floor. Let me take a breath here. Go ahead. what's on your mind?
Well, I went back through some of James Traficant's musings back when there was a budget problem, I guess, back in 1993, and he gave his fairly infamous speech about how they were there in seating and reorganization of the largest bankruptcy in ever in the history of the world, da-da-da, you know, and how he couldn't support the budget that they were proposing and all that sort of stuff. Well, I ended up in the YouTube video suggestion chain running across some of his other musings about the and how he wasn't anti-Semitic, but by golly, we're sending, if you count all the loan guarantees and sweetheart military equipment deals and all kinds of other packages that they've got going on, it's probably close to $25 billion, and that's in 1993 dollars, that it goes to Israel in foreign aid. And after September 11th, after he got out of jail, there's a couple of interviews with him where he's basically saying that the Arabs are going to lash out and attack because they've been given no choice, you know, corralled into it, that sort of thing. And that's if you believe in it. And I guess he believed the official narrative for September 11th. He didn't think there was any shenanigans going on with planes flying beyond their normal civilian envelopes, you know, with the barber pole set at, you know, 380 knots, and there's not enough power in a civilian jet to go that fast at, you know, 1,000 feet above sea level anyway, even in a dive, because the airframe would start to fall apart. But the James Traficant stuff caught my eye because of the current budget problems that, you know, we're looking at. And then I also ran across Abby Martin on Russia Today talking about just how militant Tel Aviv and a lot of the situation is over there in Israel, just walking around on the streets at these protests, if you didn't have your Israeli flag on your back, like a Superman cape or something, then you get accosted, even if you're Israeli. And, of course, they didn't want a lot of that filmed, apparently, with some of the stuff. If you've seen Abby Martin's, I guess she, she's still a commentator with Russia Today. I don't know if she's doing her stuff out.
I don't know. I watched. She would probably. I'm sure you watched that clip when she was on with Joe Rogan, and I didn't air that because, and John didn't either because it was too potty mouthed. She was using.
Oh yeah.
And she was throwing around the F word. And I think the reason she did is basically to suck up to Joe Rogan because he uses that quite frequently. This is a family show, you know, and John and I are same ilk. We don't go there. It demeans from the message as far as we're concerned.
Yep.
At any rate.
You're out of time, it sounds
like. Yeah, going to the top of the hour, buddy. You can hang on for a minute if you want to. We'll be back in two.
Okay.
Michael Herzog.
Sure.
Okay, be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.